Kazoo Fest 2019 is taking place April 10th through the 14th.
And this 12th iteration of the festival will feature yet another genre-defying lineup of independent artists from across Canada.
Over 5 action-packed days in Guelph will feature over 40 musical performances, visual and media art, contemporary dance, and the Kazoo Print Expo.
There will be performances by the Queer Songbook Orchestra, Snotty Nose Rez Kids, Jennifer Castle, Eves Jarvis, Joyful Talk, John Southworth and the South Seas, Miss Eves, and so much more.
The Kazoo Print Expo will be taking place on April 13th and will feature comics, zines, illustrations, letterpress, and much more.
Don't miss the 12th annual Kazoo Fest, April 10th to the 14th, in various downtown Guelph locations.
For more info, including tickets, passes, and accessibility information, visit kazookazoo.ca.
Kazoo Fest is made possible by support from sponsorships with The Cornerstone, CFRU 93.3 FM, Downtown Guelph, Wellington Brewery, Ampersand, Exclaim, and many more.
Greetings, we present to you the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope.
At CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on CFRU.ca every Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
We are your master overseers, Nicholas Cooper
and Drew Jacy. We will be looking inward and beyond at progressive rock, branches of progressive, fusion, and alternative genres, and other unique discoveries near and far.
Join us as we gaze into the audible lens, out at the diverse musical landscape on the ever-changing horizon.
Thank you.
Greetings, good centuries. Welcome to this special one-hour feature of the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, broadcasting every Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is a special Kazoo Fest podcast edition, recording live, at this very moment. Yes, if you're hearing this from the Kazoo podcast universe, welcome to the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. Here with my co-host, Drew.
Hello.
Sorry. The beauty of live station radio recordings.
We had a little mic switcheroo there. So
yes, I hope you won't mind that.
I did say hello. Welcome.
Yes. So we will be playing this is the Kazoo podcast, where we will be playing various music by Kazoo artists that will be appearing at the Kazoo Fest 2019 incarnation, taking place in Guelph from April 10th to 14th. And for more complete information on artists, their lineups, dates, other events taking place at Kazoo this year, just go to kazoo.ca.
And just now we heard the track Trou Noir by Bleu Nuit off of their 2019 album Le Jardin des Mémoires, and that is to be released on Michelle Records on Friday, April 12th during Kazoo Fest.
Yes, that will be a special treat. Yeah, because they are playing at Kazoo the day after, Saturday, April 13th at the ANAF, the Army Navy Air Force Club, starting at 10:30 p.m.
And Bleu Nuit actually, for their new album, I think we've got a little note here. Nick made a little descriptor.
Yeah, I also write for a couple of music blogs, like Ride the Tempo, Irregular Dreams, and Splendid Industries. But also, this is kind of a neat fact, Bleu Nuit reached out to us like in advance to the Kazoo lineup being announced, saying that they wanted to do something special with the show, which I'm very grateful for them to do that. Yeah, so actually, we're going to do, well, me personally, I'm going to be doing a pre-recorded interview during Kazoo when they get into town, as well as recording their Kazoo performance. I'll be making a special SMK feature to be broadcasted later in the future. So they gave me a exclusive link to their new album, and I described it as a vivid subterranean world that has its own dark sun and living ecosystem, kind of like the Journey to the Center of the Earth kind of vibes. And Drew, you mentioned it's kind of, I think it's supposed to be a hollow world theory or something. Is that where you got that from?
Yeah, when we were discussing it before, I asked, oh, is that like the hollow earth theory kind of thing?
So what is that actually?
There's a theory out there. Many people actually believe, I'm not one of them, but you know, I've looked into it, as they say, that the earth is actually hollow. Yeah, some say it's flat, some say it's hollow. The hollow earth theory claims that there are entrance ways to the center of the earth that actually is its own ecosystem, and it's got its own sun and all that. And
yeah, and that's exactly what I got that feeling of when listening to the album. Mm-hmm. And also the artwork for that new album for Blue or Blonde. Yeah, I do apologize in advance for pronunciations. I'm not that good at it. Bleu Nuit's new album, the artwork is already out, and that's exactly what it looks like dark, black, blue, and red.
A stairwell leading
into the underworld.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, so again, Blue Nui will be performing at Kazoo Fest this year at the ANAF on the Saturday of the festival.
So up next, we're going to be listening to the band Victime.
Another Montreal band, I should say, we should add.
Another, yep, Montreal, French-Canadian.
From the same label as well.
Very true. True dat. I didn't even notice that. We're going to be listening to Victime's track Denegation, or Denegation, off of their album Mes Tranques, Mes Jambes. Actually, that was just released on Michelle Records this year, 2019. So,
and they have a slightly same kind of post-punk, art-punk style, mm-hmm. maybe a little bit more rough around the edges. They are, I believe, yes, they are also playing at that... they're playing the day before, the Friday of the Kazoo Fest at the ANAF, starting at 10:45 p.m.
So we're going to kick it off with Victime with their song Denegation.
Bye.
That was Drunk at the Library with Nothing in My Pocket, recorded live in the stairwell.
Oh, yes. You would know about this, actually.
Yeah, I was there.
Yeah, during the recording. Yeah, it's from In the Can. It's available on Bandcamp, on the Drunk at the Library's Bandcamp page. I believe it's Pay What You Can, I think.
Pay What You Can.
Yeah. Yeah, Drunk at the Library will be playing at Kazoo Fest this year, this 2019 incarnation.
They're probably my favorite Guelph group.
Yes, they are a Guelph group as well.
No, yeah, they're... Let me correct that. They are my favorite Guelph group, I'd have to say.
Yes. And I do like their melodic phrasings, actually. It's very nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. Theatrical and just poppy enough and really good humor.
Mm-hmm.
They always put on a really awesome show.
Yes, nice. That's good to hear for our Kazoo Fest listeners over in the podcast universe. So they're going to be playing on the Saturday, April 13th at the ANAF. That's also, they're playing on the same set list as Blue Nuit. And they're starting off that evening right at 9:45 p.m. One of the headliners for this the Kazoo Fest 2019 is a really major orchestra, I should say, because they are the Queer Songbook Orchestra. I have heard of them before, but just recently. Yes, for you listener, you Good Centuries, who might be listening for the first time, and you Kazoo listeners of the podcast, I recently came out as being gay in February. I came out first to my friends online and family, and then I did this huge radio like on the SMK, this huge coming out broadcast, and yeah, that was
a big one.
Yes, we
to say cried. The least.
Yeah, we got emotional and cried.
We did, we did.
Yeah, and it was just time for me to not care about anything.
And how do you feel having done that? Moving forward,
it still has its challenges, but I'm much happier having that side of me open and like expressing myself more truthfully.
Yeah.
And safer as well, which then kind of goes in with what the Queer Songbook Orchestra does. I've heard that like their performances, obviously, they cultivate a safe space for the audience and for everyone to be emotionally and personally vulnerable and just to experience their music and just to whatever happens. Like you can just cry or like, yeah, just be happy and listening to their music, which they do. From what I understand, they play revamped arrangements of past and present queer artists from the pop culture. And yeah, having listened to the album, their album Anthems and Icons, that's very, you hear that. So I hope to try and catch a bit of Queer Songbook Orchestra, which they're playing at the Royal City Church on the Saturday of the Kazoo Fest, starting at 7:30 p.m., co-presented by Guelph Pride and the CSA. There's so many good bands to try and catch at Kazoo that you have to choose. So during that performance, I have to go to Blue Nuit to record their set. So I do hope to catch maybe just a bit. So for now, for this podcast, we will be listening to their arrangement of Lush Life, which is originally composed by Billy... I want to get this right. From the notes, yeah, Billy Strayhorn, a great queer artist, composer from the jazz sphere of music, who had worked beside Duke Ellington. But from, yeah, when I understand it, it's he wasn't acknowledged for a lot of his works. So it's now time to acknowledge that work and the work of other LGBTQ plus artists, like now more than ever. Yeah, so here's the Queer Songbook Orchestra with Lush Life here on CFRU 93.3 FM, here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope.
Visit all the very gay places, those come what may places, where one relaxes on the axis of the wheel of life, to get the feel of life from jazz and cocktails. The girls I knew had sad and sullen gray faces with deist and gay traces that used to be there. You could see where they'd been washed away by too many through the day. 12 o'clock tales. Last year, every Everything seems so sure. Now life is awful again. A truffle of hearts could only be a bore. A week in Paris will ease the bite of it all. I care is to smile in spite of it. I'll forget you. Stifling those who strive, I'll live a lush life in some small dive, and there I'll be while I rot with the rest.
Hey, this is David Stein of David Alexander and Copper Sound Studios in Guelph, and you are listening to SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope, at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web at cfru.ca. Enjoy!
Welcome back to the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope here at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph and CFRU.ca. Welcome to back to the SMK's edition of the Kazoo Fest podcast. Kazoo Fest 2019 taking place from April 10th to 14th this year. And right now we have our very special guest for this podcast edition. We have the two masterminds behind David Alexander's Magic Dungeonland, David Stein and Alex Ricci.
Hey guys.
Hi.
Hey guys, maybe come a little closer.
Come a little closer.
There you go. Or there.
Hi.
Nick only bites a little bit.
Yes. Long teeth to bite from over there.
Rah.
No, it sounds like we're right beside each other on the air, but we're not.
That's right.
Yes, well, thank you guys for coming into the studio, or into the CFRU for
Thanks
this.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, so maybe, this is one of the huge musical events taking place at Kazoo Fest this year. Why don't we start with what exactly is a Magic Dungeon Land? what is the project?
You'll have to come and find out.
Oh yes.
The project started years ago when I created the persona of David Alexander for my solo project, and I created an album called Crossbow. And then it was sort of put on the back burner for a long time. And I did a few small shows for it, but it never really got the attention that it deserved in terms of the amount of time I could put towards it. And then finally, Alex and I had been talking about taking it to another level, elevating it, being able to put some serious visuals behind it and some new considerations of how to treat it. And that's when our idea was to apply to Kazoo for the Look Here grant. And
yeah, what is the Look Here? It's a micro grant. What is that?
It's a micro grant for a new audiovisual project. So the idea of the Look Here grant is to create a brand new project to debut at Kazoo Fest for the first time that combines music and visual art in a unique way.
Yeah. And so even though some of the music had been written before, it had never been fully developed as a live piece.
Especially not an
audiovisual. We had, the visuals were just concepts in my head and then Alex's head. So this allowed us to actually develop it into a full project.
And my involvement began by me discovering David's music and becoming a big fan of the David Alexander Project and Crossbow. And sort of just like encouraging him / like pestering him to get out and do it live.
It's very true.
And I made him perform at my birthday party a couple years ago in my house and was totally blown away. So since then, we've sort of been talking about how we can like elevate the project and bring it out to like a live show scenario in an even bigger and better way. So you asked what a Magic Dungeon Land is, and I don't think we've exactly answered that yet.
No.
But we also do want to maintain some mystery. I think one of the most exciting parts of the Kazoo Look Here grant is sort of just showing up and discovering this like crazy thing that people have imagined and then built for Kazoo Fest.
You've got to be there kind of thing.
Kind of. And there is something about this that is... You know, we're treating this as one special performance and one special collaboration. So I think that would be, that's part of it. But
I think what we can tell you is that it's going to be a hardware synthesizer performance. So David's going to be performing electronic music using entirely hardware and sequencers.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be paired with an immersive video game designed environment. So the visuals are going to look like video games and sort of we'll create an atmosphere as well as like an actual sort of virtual environment for to provide narrative accompaniment as well as just like cool vibes for the performance.
Mm-hmm. So together, the live music and the visuals, we want them to sort of coalesce and become an immersive atmosphere for people to get lost in, and for it to become more than just music and visuals. It becomes something that people feel, you know, within in the performance. So.
And it'll all be tied together with excessive fog machine use.
Yeah. Oh.
That's kind of the main hinge of the project.
How many fog machines can we rent? How many fog machines before the smoke detectors go off?
Yeah. You know, how we'll disable them.
We'll disable first, them.
Sure. Safety first.
Safety first. Safety first. Magic first.
Magic first. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yes. You had sent some preliminary info for us. Are you actually going to bring in a modular synth in there? Are you going to do some Keith Emerson stuff?
Yeah, actually, I am going to bring a very large modular synth in. When people talk about modular synth stuff these days, a lot of people are into something called Eurorack, which is a format that was developed and they're sort of smaller modules. And what I have is something that's a larger format modular synthesizer. It's more related to the older Keith Emerson kind of Moog stuff from the 60s. It's a synthesizers.com setup is what it's called. And it's large, it's beefy, it sounds really good.
It's going to look good.
It's going to look really good. It's like, you know, 2 feet by, you know, it has presence, and it's really fun to play with. And I think it'll be a really fun part of the performance. So.
And it's sort of going to be used for some drone-y type work.
Yeah, that's right. A little bit of drone stuff and a little bit of lead
and
stuff.
And then beefing up the leads as well.
That's right. Yeah.
Slapping those keys,
turning those knobs.
Yeah. I heard lots of like lead style lines in there. Is it like an arpeggiator kind of thing? Like
it's a bit of both. Some of the lines were, well, especially on the recording. Actually, it is similar between the recording and the live. Some of the stuff is pre-programmed where it's sending MIDI notes, you know, arpeggiated MIDI notes to a synth, and it's playing it live, mm-hmm. but, you know, preordained arpeggios. And then a lot of it is me playing lead lines over top. And sometimes they sound like arpeggios because I do little quick things, mm-hmm. but it's actually me playing it live. So a combination.
Cool.
For sure.
So part of the performance you mentioned is going to be immersive. Is it going to be at all interactive with the audience?
We have concepts. We're working with them. We're developing them, and we're seeing where they go. And we are playing with that idea.
As of yesterday, we are fairly confident that it will be interactive. But until we are in the space and people are trying to interact and it's either working or it's not working, we just won't know.
There's something really exciting about a project like this where we get to have the opportunity to develop a whole bunch of new things with a little grant for this performance. And so we've thrown a lot of ideas up to say, what can we do? We can do all these things. And we've been doing a lot of experimenting, which is a lot of fun. And we're just going to see what exactly feels best leading up to the day.
And just for all you Guelphites out there who are interested in audiovisual projects, definitely like read more about the Look Here grant. It's available every year from Kazoo and Edvideo. It's like totally unique. I've never seen another grant quite like it as far as marrying multiple disciplines together and creating really unique projects. And like they don't get enough applications. They're
oh, really?
Hungry for more projects. So if you like start imagining something now and write your application for next year, because it's a really, really great opportunity and something that's very unique to Guelph and to Kazoo Fest.
Something also that people may not know, but Alex's, you know, big main project, Versa, with Monika Hauk.
Yeah, or we know that here at the
You know that
SMK,
here.
Yeah.
But that was actually started through them getting the Look Here grant.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And so that was, that's huge. I mean, this project is now this massive, amazing thing. And just to think that that's where it got its start is really great. So like Alex is saying, get your brains working, apply, write something down, apply for the grant.
And it'll lead to great things.
Lead to great things.
Yeah, like this project and like Versa. Actually, yeah. Saw Versa, was it 2 weeks ago now, Alex?
Yeah, 2 weekends ago in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. And it was splendid.
Thank you.
Yeah, as always.
So, or actually, Alex, you didn't mention, will you be playing with David?
I will be playing the visuals. So I'm going to be doing a lot of live triggering of different visual components and just like running the overall projection setup. So that's my role. I won't be making any sounds aside from like grunts of frustration. but yeah, I'll be doing the visual stuff.
Yeah, I'll be performing the music all on my own.
Yeah. If all goes well, it'll sort of look like I'm performing. Like I do plan to be performative with the visual triggering. Mm-hmm. So I think that's sort of that's what's exciting about audiovisual projects is it seems like the people doing the visuals are often an intrinsic part of the performance, if not adding their own sort of performative element to the overall presentation.
So our going back to the album Crossbow, we actually before we introduced you guys, we did listen to half of Beastlands off mm-hmm. that album. Is there any concept that you put into that album that you're bringing over into the Magic Dungeon Land?
Absolutely. The album in itself has an arc from beginning to end. The songs, in my mind, you know, it's an instrumental album, but it did tell a story of a journey of somebody venturing into a dungeon and you know, sort of, you know, classic horror sci-fi video game tropes. But there are also, you know, other themes in there that are about, you know, self-discovery and getting lost and, you know, finding yourself and all that kind of stuff. And so that kind of imagery and that kind of process with it is definitely a part of the new performance, and it has influenced the visuals that we make that we have created and we will be playing with live, and also some interesting narrative elements that will come up.
Yeah, the video game environments will explore some of the narrative elements that were part of David's original sort of arc of the album.
Yeah.
Including Beastlands. That's sort of a central track to the
whole
arc.
Oh, nice. Yeah. It's good we played that then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see. Drew, do you have any questions? Other questions? Like, a lot of this is like just mystique, and then you just come out pretty much. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely. But I will say that any fan of electronica, any fan of synthesizers, any fan of audiovisual stuff, any fan of video games, any fan of horror movie sci-fi
has at least a 10% chance.
Has
of
at least
liking
a, I would say, yeah, I'm going to go far as say 50% chance of liking.
Sounds like a lot of Guelph is going to be out to see that.
I hope so. I think so. We've got a lot of synthesizer nerds, and we've had some synth meetups in the past in Guelph and some interesting synth stuff, but. The big synth that I'm bringing out has never left my studio. So this will be the first time that I get to debut playing with this instrument.
Oh,
so
nice.
Fun.
Or actually, you did mention it. What kind of horror stuff will be, is there going to be like jump scares?
Sprays of fake blood.
Sprays of fake blood. You're going to jump it and be scared at how much you like it.
Amazing.
Terrible.
There will be no fake blood, so don't let that turn you off.
No, performance. And it's not the influence when I talk about horror films is not in the sort of scary elements of it being jump scary or anything like that. But the music definitely has inspiration, and the visuals from old school horror films, a lot of John Carpenter stuff, a lot of, you know, 70s and 80s movies. So
a lot of atmospheric.
Exactly. Horror. Atmospheric horror, sort of gothic horror, what's the word? Celestial horror. There's different things, like, you know, H.P. Lovecraft
stuff. Outer World.
Yeah, you got it.
That's hard to write.
Yeah.
That stuff.
David is a bit of a writer. One of the ways that we've connected, in addition to working together musically, is we played Dungeons & Dragons together a little bit.
Yeah.
So David was our dungeon master for our group. And I could immediately tell when he told me a bit about the arc of the album that some of his dungeon master influences came through in how he designed the album and the narrative behind the album. I don't know if you want to talk more about that.
Yeah, sure.
Or just like how you bring dungeon mastery to your musical endeavors as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I do think that part of the music is bringing people on a journey and telling a story. And there is a history of writing instrumental albums and always thinking as if they were an imaginary film score. And that's definitely part of what's going on here. I always imagined, I had loose ideas of some of the imagery and if this happened to be a film or a story being told. But the nice thing about it is that you don't actually have to explicitly say that. The music sells it for you. And sort of the same way that, I guess, being a dungeon master too, you have an idea of where you want to take your players. You have an idea of a story you want to tell. But it also depends on how those players interact with it, and it becomes an improvised thing as we go. So that's definitely a part of it. And I love being a dungeon master. It's really fun. And it's interesting you tied that, because I can definitely bring some of the same tones that I like about the music that I write or that I listen to into that stuff.
Yeah, nice. You're almost like your own master overseer, like we are on the show here.
That's right.
and you mentioned the like sort of improvisatory nature where you design something in your head, but you're not sure how the players are going to interact with it. And it sort of reminded me of how I'm feeling about the interactive stuff that we're planning for the show. It's like, we are going to give a certain amount of control over to the audience, ideally if everything works the way it's supposed to.
Yeah.
And that's a bit of a scary thing. You never know what's going to happen, and there's going to be a certain level of us having to respond to what other people are bringing in.
Absolutely.
While trying to maintain this thing that we've carefully crafted, and like sort of knowing when to like invite people in, knowing when to say like, okay, we need to move on. It's that part is really exciting for me, because that's not something, I mean, I've improvised in performance before, but I've never improvised with a totally unprepared audience interacting.
Right.
And that's something I'm really excited about.
There's this also this element of it, because we're not really going to tell people too much about the interactive components. It's, before it happens, and it's, you know, there's going to be something that people can interact with. Hopefully, it's similar. We were talking about this on the car ride over. It's similar to how sometimes video games will teach you how to play the video game, but it won't be so explicit. It will just be sort of as you keep playing the video game, you get to
some of the more like larger exploratory.
The
video games.
Well, those games can be really guilty sometimes of over-explaining too.
Yeah.
They plop you down and then you run through a tutorial where it takes all the mystery of discovery out of the game. And our approach was sort of the opposite. We want to leave it pretty open for people to like, we're going to tell them to do something, and then like it's up to them to sort of figure out how to do it. They're going to have to use their prior knowledge of video game environments to figure out what to do in the interactive portion. And I think it's going to work. Like I really like the idea of trusting your audience and accepting that they're probably very intelligent people who are bringing a lot of experience and like wisdom to the performance, and you can trust them. If you want them to do something, if you want them to interact, you can trust that they'll know what to do and that they'll bring something that maybe you didn't even anticipate. I don't know if I explained that very well, but I've heard people talk about this idea a lot, of trusting your audience and expecting, being okay with expecting a lot from them, and that's a really exciting thing that can add a lot to your performance.
Yeah, I think That's all the questions we have, unless we will probably, if we keep on going, there won't be any more mystery.
one other mystery that I want to address is where we're playing. So we're on Wednesday night at Kazoo HQ. We're performing at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m.
Yeah, April 10th at 8 o'clock at Kazoo HQ, which is at 127 Woolwich Street.
Yeah, that's like the main, like, gathering hub for the entire festival in Guelph.
Yes.
And there's actually going to be a whole video game related sort of art show happening at Kazoo HQ, as far as I understand.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some, if you're into video games, there's going to be some other really cool stuff for you to check out.
Oh yeah, it's here. It's by the Hand Eye Society.
Yeah.
Presents the Indie Arcade at Kazoo HQ.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be exciting too, and it ties in pretty well.
Yeah,
with you guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, so thank you guys for coming in onto the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope.
Yeah,
fits
thanks
well.
For having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, fits well with the magic dungeon land. Being able to gaze upon your landscape, sound landscape,
yeah.
Audio-visual landscape.
Yeah.
So, yes, thanks David Stein and Alex Ricci for being on the show and on the Kazoo podcast. Sweet. I do believe we are almost at the end of our feature, our Kazoo podcast feature of the SMK. Kazoo Fest 2019 will be taking place between April 10th to 14th. For complete information on concert events, the whole artist descriptions, locations, other special events, come or see which taking a little picture here. Just go to online to kazoo.ca. I think we will be ending off with another picture. We're going to be ending off with another David Alexander track off of Crossbow. We're going to play Inner Demon. So for now, this has been the SMK, the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope at CFRU 93.3 FM in Guelph, Ontario, and through the web on CFRU.ca every Monday from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Keep informed with the show on Facebook and Twitter, both at SMK Radio Program.
My name's Nicholas Cooper.
And I'm Drew Jacy.
Until next, we behold Prague on.
And look inward and beyond.